We're going to see where the Lord takes us this afternoon. I'm going to think I'll do some review and then we'll go into part two. But then we are going to pray for everyone who'd like prayer today. All right. Why don't we pray? Let's just lift our hands. Father, thank you for really good lunch. Thank you. And we bless every person who prepared it. Lord, give people ears and give me wisdom and understanding. Without you, I can't do anything. But with you, I can do all things. So thank you for the impossible. Thank you for miracles taking place. And thank you for words of life. And Lord, open up your word to us. Let it be like those two disciples who, as they walk with you on the road to Emmaus, their hearts burned because you revealed you. That scripture was always to reveal you. Thank you for the city of Martinsville. And thank you that this is actually a prophetic gathering and very prophetic for the leadership here, that it would bring streams together and bring races together. Thank you for the angel of the Lord that's here. Thank you for healing taking place. Thank you for the cloud of glory. Father, we love your word. Your word is so good. Thank you that your word never fails. Thank you that you've settled your word. So teach us through your word, the word that doesn't change, the word that brings transformation, the word that is sharper than a two-edged sword. So thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last night we began, we talked about the divine design of God. And we looked at, we began and we opened at Ephesians 1 where we saw that Paul first talked about being rooted in the knowledge of God and then knowing the hope of your calling. And then what is often the case, often we see, is people want to know the hope of their calling before the knowledge of God. And a common question probably for many leaders today is like, I want to know what God's called me to do. I'm going, talk to God and you'll have plenty of stuff to do. Right. And if he hasn't expanded on that, then just steward what he's put in front of you. One of the greatest lines the Lord ever gave me in walking with him, because I was telling him, I said, you said this and you said that. God and I are very, I just talk to God. I mean, I'm just very plain. Now, often I'm talking out of my own ignorance, and I freely admit that. But in my own ignorance, he can bring adjustment. And he said to me, he said, I never waste anyone's time. People waste my time. Just do what's in front of you right now. Right now. You know, time is a precious commodity. That's why if you get in trouble, they take your time from you. And we saw that God's divine design began in Genesis 1, where he spoke and he defined the words by which he spoke. And then we also looked at Genesis, the first chapter. If we could put that up there, I don't know if you have that. Genesis 1, which is critical, in my humble opinion, to a biblical worldview. And it's this, Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And the two phrases that we pulled out of there was this. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the cattle, and over all the earth. The two key phrases I want to repoint out this afternoon is let them and over all the earth. 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 Why is that important? It's important because God doesn't say let us. He says let them. So he gives man the authority in the earth, man and woman. He gives man authority in the earth and he says let them. So from that moment forward, the enemy, even though he's one step short of losing his mind, knows one thing, that God is so committed to his word that if he can get someone to come into agreement with him, then he has authority in the earth. Let them and over all the earth. So man was given the authority in the earth, and we saw that as God's representative, the last thing about there is this, very, very key, is that God gives man authority, but man was not created to take care of itself. You were not created to take care of yourself. That is one cultural thing Americans really, really need to know. Two things. You cannot do anything you want if you're in Christ. In America, you're taught you can be anything you want as long as you work hard enough. That's a lie. That's not a biblical statement. No, as a soldier in the kingdom of God, you are required to do everything He asks you to do. Because it's called a kingdom. And in a kingdom, your opinion and my opinion does not matter. But in a righteous kingdom, the king makes sure every one of his subjects are taken care of. In a kingdom, every one of his subjects is prosperous. In a kingdom, every one of the subjects has more than enough. Amen. Amen. I was in London at the beginning of July, and I went on this tour one day. I'm getting to be a better tourist. But we're in this square. Huh? No camping. I stayed in a hotel room that night. There's no camping. It was a bicycle tour. I really enjoyed it. So we had this stop, and in this square, the guy says, "That's the Canadian Embassy." Oh, I said, "That's interesting. You're in the middle of London, and if you step over through a gate, what do? You're stepping on to property of Canada." And that Canadian embassy, even though it's in the middle of London, it is property of that nation, and the rules of that nation govern. Now, the great thing about this ambassador is, if he's from a pretty decent country, he gets a really good salary. He gets everything he needs of. He gets a car. He gets everything. But the role of this ambassador is to not give his opinion. An ambassador who's operating correctly never goes, "This is my opinion." He will say, "The opinion of my government is this." What is the position of your nation on this issue? "The opinion of my government is this." So what is that? It is a natural picture of what we're supposed to do. You are a citizen of heaven here and now, who God has not given a religion to, He's given a kingdom. And everywhere you step has now become property, and the rights and the rules that govern your kingdom apply to your situation. That's why if a place is an economic downturn, if God has called you there, the moment you step into that place, a different rules begin to apply to you. So we saw that the biblical template was that God needed agreement. He needed agreement from Abram. That's why He made covenant with him. We saw, too, that when He's like, "I'm going to destroy that city," Abraham is this picture of what it means to be a New Testament prophetic person. He stands between God and man and intercedes so that the ways of God would come to man. Where does he go? Hey, if you find 100 righteous. Then he likes, like, "Oh, this is kind of fun. I think I have a voice here." Because he does. What if I find 20? Yeah. I'll save the city. That man needed agreement. Now we know, obviously, the nation of Israel doesn't fully fulfill what God intended through them. And then we have the Son of God. We talked extensively about Jesus. That Jesus was the first man since the... Jesus was the first man since Adam to display God's original intent. Jesus was the first man since Adam to display God's original intent. Everything that you see, and you see the way that Jesus functioned in the earth, was the way that God intended Adam to function, except for one difference, and this is really interesting, that Adam was made perfect, but God improves in Jesus on perfection, because in the garden, he walks with man. In Jesus, he lives in man. And you see again, we pointed out that the pattern there, that the reason that God needs a body is because he cannot illegally come to earth. He's the one who set up the parameters of how the earth is governed. And it says, I need people with bodies. That's why Adam looked for a body. That's why demons look for a body. That's why when you die, your spirit doesn't die, but you must leave the earth. Because if you ain't got a body, you're here illegally. It's true. Why is it so funny? Maybe you never thought it that way. Part of it maybe is because even in the Western church, people are so soul focused. Most of the time when I hear people talk, they'll say body, soul, and spirit. Well, it's actually spirit, soul, and body. You should identify with your spirit first. So we saw that fellowship with the Father was a foundational, necessary aspect for Jesus. We saw that Jesus modeled this abiding lifestyle, and he instructed his disciples to do the same. We also saw that Jesus was educated by his Father. That's fascinating stuff. That's how you clearly see that he chooses what Paul described in Philippians 2, that he chooses to live as the Son of Man. He is acting as a man in right relationship with God. If he's not, then he doesn't need to be educated. He knows everything. That's amazing to me. Jesus learned things. Yet many believers act like they've arrived. That's scary. And then we also looked at the disciples understood prayer as a vital part of the life of the disciple of Jesus. Really, really important. Also important that if you're called to any sort of, we're all called, obviously, but if you're called to any sort of fivefold ministry position, you must be a disciple first. And we looked at these characteristics that I'll go through once again very quickly. Your lifestyle of fellowship is an indication of how much you really believe you need God. Your lifestyle of fellowship is an indication of how much you really believe you need God. What do I mean by that? It means it's very easy to assess where the passions of your heart are. Real simple. You got people who... She's a church example. We're having a conference, having a conference in 3 months, and, there's going to be a $45 charge, and we're bringing, a speaker or whatever. And they get mad. They get real mad. Why can't, it's a church thing. Why can't it be free? I don't know. We don't charge for a lot of conferences. I'm just saying, what if they do? So they get mad. But then, they're big Pittsburgh Steeler fans. And it's opening day and somebody offers them tickets more than what they make in a month it costs. For some reason, they figure out how to get to that Steelers game and they don't complain any. Shows the affections of their heart. Shows the priority of their heart. And we said God is not afraid to be drawn. The point is, where you spend... your intentionality is a reflection of how much you really think you need God. Listen, I'd encourage you. It's not about meetings. I'd encourage you. Hopefully you're part of a local community of people. Don't miss the gathered community. I'm not saying it's wrong to go on vacation or anything like that. I've been to a football game and missed church. But I also go to 285 meetings a year, so I think God gives me penance for that. Get a little Catholic with that. But somehow, the value of the gathered community is being missed upon the people of God. And this is just an absolute truth. You will never know everything there is you need to know about your life and destiny without connecting to something bigger and submitting yourself to a group of people. God uses a priest who's in compromise to explain to one of the greatest prophets that ever lived that God was speaking to him for the first time. Remember that one? Samuel's growing up in the temple, and he keeps thinking Eli is calling him. And Eli is letting his sons do foul things in the temple. This is how much authority rests in God's chosen people. I know people have been abused. I know people have been taken advantage of. Except this, that it is still a biblical principle of authority God rests in leaders. And I cringe when I see even believers today, they don't even realize it, they're cursing themselves. I don't care what you think, Trump, Obama, anything, of what people will say about people in delegated authority. And people think, because they're an American and they got a free right to say things, they think they can just say whatever they want about people in leadership. Be very, very careful what you say. Ooh, wasn't planning. That's not in the notes. I'm not talking about staying in a place for being abused. I'm just talking about recognizing. And anyway, I just leave it there. People spiritualize their dysfunction. Oh, I am the church. No, you're not. He called the church the gathered ecclesia. Here's really important. God empowers weak people. It's in your best interest to draw near. Without a lifestyle of fellowship, you will not understand the full purposes of God for your life. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are fully committed to empower you to walk out the plan God saw before the foundation of the earth. God promises to respond to weak people. God longs to respond to His children to draw near. Listen, God delights in pure hearts, and He delights in people who long to live righteous lives. But even in your weakness, even in the place you blew it 5 minutes ago, you blew it at lunch, as soon as you turn to Him, He goes, gotcha. He is drawn towards really weak people. This whole connection with heaven has never ever been based upon what man could do for God. It's always been about what God did for man. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Fellowship with God fuels a lifestyle of fascination with God. Intentional and consistent are qualities essential to a fruitful lifestyle of fellowship with God. The spiritual discipline of fasting accelerates a life of fellowship that God intends. Intentional fellowship unlocks God's intention towards you. Our spirit, our born-again spirit, has been created to live a lifestyle of prayer. Now, if you want to turn with me to Matthew 13, just a somewhat, I was going to say brief, but I don't want to lie about what I just did. Paul preached all night, so it's biblical. Matthew 13, verse 13. On that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea in a great multitude. I want you to notice, and I say this many times, but I think it bears repeating, that often the evangelist, the gospel writer, will tell us that there was a great multitude around Jesus. And what you will notice that being around Jesus does not assure that you have faith in him, does not assure that you will receive what you need from him, but it will often give you the vernacular or give you, how do I say this? There were people around Jesus' time who went to his meetings, went to his miracle meetings, perhaps became partners, and they could tell you everything that Jesus did. And they could tell you about his sermons. But there was no revelation, there was no heart capture fully to apprehend what he had for them. Because there's a difference between listening to the word and actually becoming part of that word. And he spoke many things in parables, and he said, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured, and some fell on a stony place where they did not have much earth. Immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth." Notice you'll see how where he placed the seed determined what it produced. And I want to submit to you that one of the definitions of earth or depth there is your heart. That's why he teaches us to guard our heart with all diligence. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root and they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. Now this is where it gets. Jesus says some brilliantly amazing things. He who has ears, let him hear. What? Everyone in there has ears. And the disciples said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered, and he said, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." And skip on to verse 35. Now this, Lord Jesus, I mean, sometimes, I get it, and I'll develop this in a minute because I believe in this, but sometimes prophetic people, what's God saying now? I'm still dealing with what he said 7 years ago. And this is one of those. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. This is verse 35. I know I'm skipping ahead just for where I feel like God wants to emphasize. "I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." Now this is really, really important right here. Because he came and he gave Adam the earth to establish his kingdom. That kingdom was supposed to govern the whole world. And so he says, that got interrupted. But here I am, and I've now come with the words, the secrets of the mysteries of the kingdom of God that have been hidden. They're now being disclosed to people so they can rerun the earth. Not only rerun the earth, but rerun their life. So God longs to release wisdom and knowledge that would reshape your world and the world around you. It is God's working and dealing with man is never individualistic. That's American. That's another thing. When God speaks to me, I believe he speaks seven generations. I believe when he's speaking to me, he's like, I got to line this guy because I got to get him some kids, got to get him a wife, got to get him this, because there's a whole generation of people that are supposed to be impacted by what he's prophetically seeing and making choices along those lines. Because when he came into the earth, he didn't really know me till he was about 18, or didn't really get an understanding of where he was going. But now when this kid is born, he's going to step into all this stuff way beyond him, because he just made 140 years of choices, because I'm going to live 140. You can stay here as long as you can plan on dying early. Abner Suarez is not dying early. With long life, he will satisfy me. Because there's no demons in heaven. There's no other work to do when I get there. People say, "Why are you so busy?" I said, "You should get busy doing something." That word mystery is secret or hidden truth. Mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to understand. Here's what one commentator said. I love this. The mysteries of the kingdom then means the glorious gospel truth, which at a time only the more advanced disciples could appreciate. Who is he speaking this concept to when he says this? Who is he speaking this to? He was saying this to his disciples. He was saying to people who had made a decision, a lifestyle decision, that they will give everything for the cause of the kingdom of God. So he's saying, and it applies to every believer today because it's in red letters. So he's saying, anyone who makes this decision to seek ye first the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are theirs. Now, this is important if we're going to talk about understanding intercession, prophetic role. Obviously, the two are completely synergistic concepts in Scripture. Hopefully, we've seen that through the other teachings and through what God has put on my heart. Holiness is a characteristic of God that must be understood if we're supposed to relate to Him properly. Why? An aspect of holiness is that He is just and He has integrity. God is completely just. In exercising His integrity, He does not reveal to people that which they're not interested in receiving or desiring to receive. Say it again. In exercising His integrity, He doesn't reveal to people that which they're not interested in receiving or desiring to receive. This is important. God creates within us a hunger to know Him, to encounter Him, but you are personally responsible for stewarding your life of hunger in God. That's why the real battle is for the souls of men, not to get people to say one prayer that says, "Oh yeah, just receive Jesus, everything's good." The real battle is for their soul. The real battle is for their minds to think properly. The real battle is for them to operate in power. The enemy doesn't care about 20,000 people going to church with no power, just feeling good messages. They all need deliverance because they told, I heard leaders, demons don't exist. I said, your mama, he's right inside of you talking right now. And while you're speaking humanistic principles and adding the gospel to it, your people are getting eat for lunch every day of their life. Right. So you're responsible for feeding that hunger. You got to feed it. That's why I said feed it with the Word of God. Feed it with the presence of God. Feed it with understanding of the Bible. Don't ever say you don't understand the Word. That's propaganda. Propaganda. You can understand what that football announcer tells you for 3 hours. You can understand what God wants to tell you. Now, this is also something interesting to ask about God. God knows what we need before we ask, but He still implores us to seek and ask. How many know that? That God has... It's not like God going, man, I don't know. And I wasn't sure if Abner needed that. He's in me, so he's not going, Yeah, I wasn't aware that he needed all that. I wasn't aware that you were depressed today. I wasn't aware that you needed $100 to pay that bill. He's aware of everything. But because this is how He's chosen to relate to us, He is aware, but His eyes turn towards the person who will say, I need you in this area. What is your solution? This act of pursuing God in any area is called faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith steps into that realm of eternity and captures all that resources that's in eternity for you, because He doesn't send His ambassadors to earth without resources. And it steps into that place and goes, God, this is mine. And so I implore you. I say, this is mine. A lifestyle of power is mine. A lifestyle of speaking the word is mine. A lifestyle of always having enough for every good work. A lifestyle of paying people's mortgages off. A lifestyle of never having a car. Or whatever it is, it's mine. God enjoys meeting the needs of the people, but the currency and faith as a lifestyle is a currency. Here's what he says. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. This is interesting. He actually tells us, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. But then he says this, in the same sermon, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Stop right there. Ask and it will be given to you. 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 This is where it gets really fun, because he wants to give you everything he promised in his word, but because faith is so powerful, he'll give you stuff just for fun.
Yes.
You're like, I'd like to go on a vacation. Good, go on a vacation. You're like, well, I can't afford that. Well, guess what? You walk with the God that if he gave you $1 million would not be a big deal. It's not like when God gives somebody $1 million. Oh, man, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, maybe we're going to have really good. You know, going to have to just really cut back here in heaven now. Gabriel, you know, we just wrote a check for $1 million for John. So let's cut back now. It's true. The Lord gave me a statement years ago. He said, what you're willing to believe me for, I'm willing to give you. Ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Now the foundation, I know you could take that a whole bunch of different ways, and sometimes people have, but it doesn't take out the truth. The foundation is, if he told me this also years ago. He goes, Abner, if I know I have your heart, I'll give you the world. What does he tell me? He says, as long as I know you're a soldier in my army, I got no problem giving you things you'd like to have. Knock, and it will be open. Knock, and it will be everyone open. For everyone who asks. Not just the really special people. Not just the ones who are supposed to have international ministries. Not just the ones who are going to, you know, prominent, will know about them. Everyone who asks and who seeks finds him. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Notice the persistence in there. Consistency and intentionality. There is a grace that God is releasing to his people to stay consistent. There's been an abortive spirit in the body of Christ. People start things that God called them to and never stay the whole path. God desires to release truth to his people that were hidden before the foundation of the world, that were actually intended to run the earth as God intended to. This is something that I've been meditating on for a number of years now. And I said this before. The Lord spoke to me. He said, this generation will be... I'm spitting now. Now I know I'm preaching good. This generation will be given access to the Ancient of Days that no other generation has been given access to.